it's valuable to raise this issue, because when Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal authors explicitly state why they choose a particular literary mode or name the specific target of their writing, the matter becomes very pertinent. Such information is even more relevant when the themes of the literature involve cultural clash, as is the norm in the works discussed. The texts themselves do not provide this information. My research has included as many personal interviews as possible with the authors being studied, and, in these and other cases, relevant autobiographical and biographical material. There's a further reason for this partly sociological perspective, which may be subsumed under the category of political activism. Over the past 25 years, in Australia, the debate over Aboriginal rights to land, to education, to citizenship, and to compensation has received considerable publicity. Specific issues will be discussed, but what's presently important is that the group of Aboriginal activists grew both in numbers and in audibility throughout the decades of the 1960s, the 1970s, and the 1980s, as did the politicization of many other Aboriginal people. Those activists made themselves heard through petitions, protests, demonstrations, interviews, and publicity campaigns, and importantly, many of them also began to write. Some produced purely political treatises, but a significant number of them wrote poems, plays, novels, and even those who did not demonstrate often wrote works sympathetic to the concerns of those who did. Amongst today's white Australian community, those with official political power rarely produce creative writing on a political theme, especially one involving the Aboriginal people. The white spokespersons are, by and large, not authors. However, amongst the black Australian community, public spokespersons far more frequently are writers or influenced by them. What's important here is that Aboriginal authors are very frequently highly motivated in a political sense and are influential both amongst their own people and to a growing extent among the larger Australian and world communities. As Bernard Smith has written, a few black writers are playing a leading part in developing a new awareness of nationhood among their own people. A number of conclusions can be drawn. First, the role of these writers means that any analysis of Aboriginal creative writing in English has wider ramifications. One gains a clearer view of Aboriginal socio-political aspirations through interviews with the writers concerned and through reading their works. Second, Aboriginal creative writing illustrates the fact that artistic skill need not be any casualty of political commitment. Third, the contrasting perceptions of white Australian authors who write on similar themes are thrown into even clearer relief, as the majority are not as strongly politically motivated as their black counterparts. Thus, while this study deals with the literature of Australian relations and race relations over the past 60 years and the socio-political milieu in which it emerged, my major concern is the creative writing of the last 25 years up to 1988.